Through a rapid acquisition program called Needopedia, the Defense Intelligence Agency has been using broad agency announcements and informal white papers to buy technologies from non-traditional companies for the past 3 years. Tomorrow, it's trying something new. Companies who think they can solve a DIA technology problem can make their pitch directly to agency leaders through an online conference. Robert Dixon is DIA's Special Advisor for Innovation. He spoke with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about the industry day and what the agency hopes to learn.
As you know, 3 years ago, we developed Needopedia. We learned a lot in those past 3 years, how we can better engage industry and also how we can basically take into those white papers and distribute those to the mission-relevant reviewers and give them opportunity to see what type of solutions our industry partners may have to basically come in and satisfy our overall needs. So therefore, as we did that, we basically used our Needopedia, and we're able to receive white papers for a specific need. And with those specific needs, we're able to review them and also make a decision on them and even have further discussions on those white papers and basically take it to contract within 33 to 88 days. One key thing about all of this, especially for Industry Day, we made a decision to do Industry Day almost a month and a half ago, and we knew that we wanted to focus on a specific need. So we were able to go out to industry within 3 weeks and told them within 2 weeks we'd like you to come back with a white paper to satisfy a specific need, this specific need. And when they did that, we were able to evaluate the paper within 3 days and then make notification back to the industry partner and do all of the logistics and be ready for Industry Day on the December the 15th of this month, which is Thursday.
Right, and I think that's essentially a virtual Industry Day. How is that interaction with industry different from what you have been doing with Needopedia, which sounds like it's been mostly a paper written process up until now? Is that right?
It's not the same concept, but with this particular concept, we wanted to bring the industry partner in our innovation ecosystem, which is the Innovation Hub, and basically bring them in and give them opportunity to demonstrate what they can do according to what the requirement and the need is, and be able to demonstrate it on WebEx. And that means we'll see a live presentation of what they're doing, no PowerPoints, things of that nature, but be able to basically engage them with the right senior leadership and also with the technical experts and make a decision on those papers and also see some of the knowns and the unknowns from those presentations and be able to move and have further discussions. And then after we have those further discussions, then we can make a decision whether we want to pilot that particular program and also be able to test it out within a certain period of time and then move forward and see how it can leverage against our current user-defined intelligence program project that we have in the Innovation Hub.
Yeah, can you say a little bit more about what the Innovation Hub actually is? You guys have talked before about an open innovation gateway. Are those
right.
two different names for the same thing or two different concepts entirely?
No, recently we just became developed an interim ecosystem for innovation within a room where we can bring the workforce in, we can bring partners throughout industry, academia, also across the government, and give them opportunity to be creative, look for opportunities, work together, be collaborative in the things that they're doing. So we have done a couple of projects so far, and we are able to have that team atmosphere to look at ways to create and have creativity and also be able to do prototyping and piloting and then make a decision in terms of if we want to pursue a particular initiative or not.
So it sounds like the point is you've got the folks that we would normally think of as the requirements folks and the acquisition folks and the senior leadership all in the same room at the same time. Is that about right?
That is correct. We have all the players there. And that's the beauty of having an innovation hub. You can bring all the players there, working together as a team, embracing and taking ownership of the project and knowing what the overall need is and understanding that whatever the output is, it must be relevant to the overall mission of the organization.
And so when the answers to those questions are yes, when you see a capability that you think hits the target, how do you actually get folks on contract?
That's the easy part, because what we'll have more detailed discussions with the industry partner, and then we'll, as we have that discussion, then we can make a firm decision that we want to go on contract, and we're done, because we don't have to go through a long RFP process. We've already evaluated the white papers. We're able to have a close-up discussion, and then we were able to pilot that particular program. We're able to leverage risk and move fast. And then if a decision is made that this pilot is good, then we can go to the sustainment phase and not even worry about and know that we have a good project there, and not know that we have sunk a lot of money into a particular project and that it was not worth the relevancy of our organization.
Yeah, not to get too far into the weeds, but as far as actual contracting mechanisms, I mean, are you using other transaction authorities? I know you guys have talked about an open, broad agency announcement in the past.
Right. We do have a BAA. That's what our Neediapedia is tied to. The beauty of it is that the BAA has a hyperlink that's linked to our needs portal. So our needs portal can be used for many other things, but for this particular issue, we have the needs there. We determine when we will review the white papers. We determine when they will be cut off. And so that gives the industry partner awareness when to submit those white papers. Those needs are very specific. So we definitely would like to have specific white papers to correspond to those specific needs. And so that gives us the opportunity to, not only if we don't accept those needs, we'll make a response back to the industry partner in a timely manner. Now we're at a point that we can now respond back to the industry partner within 2 weeks after they submit a white paper, so that we can basically give them awareness. But we do put the white papers in an archive so that we can go back and may be able to pull that white paper. It may be relevant to some other need that will come in the future.
All right. So it sounds like you're hitting the objectives that you've had all along for speed and agility. But can you talk about some of the ways that you've used Neediapedia so far, both in terms of roughly the number of capability needs you've put out there and how many actual acquisitions you've done under that BAA?
Right. I'll tell you, this year, we really jumped. We put out 18 acquisition projects. We were able to, those are the ones that we're able to test and demonstrate. Remember, we're about doing prototyping and testing at short phase. It may go up to 6 months, and then make a decision and go back to the operational user and let them make an overall decision in terms of what they want to do in terms of sustainment. But that we use that as our mechanism and to move forward. But also we're looking at other transaction agreements, and we're working that now to improve that process so that we can use other appropriations to really do some other prototyping like some other organizations in government are doing right now, and just as DIUX is doing those things, and to leverage what they're doing and move forward to really test a lot of the projects, demonstrate those projects, and see how they are relevant to our organization.
Yeah, and to that point, just like DIUX, I think one of DIA's objectives all along has been to kind of widen the aperture in terms of who your technology providers are beyond the usual suspects in government contracting. Do you feel like you've reached out to those non-traditional vendors and brought some of them into the fold so far?
Yeah, you make a good point there, because normally we've looked at about all of the contracts that we put out, 80% of those have been non-traditional organizations. So therefore, Neediapedia is very open to anyone, the mom and pop garage owners out there that may have something that's relevant to our organization. We will take those in, we will evaluate those overall papers, and then we'll see how where we go from there. But yes, we are able to cast that net out to a broad area. As you know, innovation is occurring in the private sector, so we want to leverage that capability to bring it into our agency and see how we can use it to transform some of the things that we're moving to and within the Defense Intelligence Agency and also the Defense Intelligence Enterprise.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's talk about what it is you're actually trying to buy in this first quarterly industry day. And I understand you're not publishing requirements in the way that we tend to think of them in traditional FAR-based procurements, but what have you told industry that you're after here?
Right. We put out a need that we would like a capability for all source analysts and operators to basically take interactive geospatial data and also from all sources in a domain so that we can bring that together and integrate that information in speed and real time and have an answer with the push of a button, if you want to use that analogy.
And
using a cloud environment. So that basically that gives us an opportunity that we can now do things faster, especially with our analysts and operators, and not do all of that research of pulling all that information together. It comes through the various layers and is at speed and is at real time.
So automating the process of intelligence integration a bit, I guess, is what it sounds
that's
like.
That's correct. That is correct.
So, which brings up another interesting point. I mean, when you potentially buy a capability like this, one would think that it's got to fit neatly into the common desktop environment that I think you and NGA are in the process of building for the rest of IC. So, talk about that process a bit. How do you make sure that whatever product you buy from a non-traditional source actually fits in with the IT architecture that you already have or are building?
Definitely. As we make these decisions, our IT organization, which is CIO, they are at the front end of giving us advice, of having the right developers there to make sure it fits the overall need that we're asking for. So therefore, you have developers there to look at the overall need and see how we can transition that in terms of what our where we want to go in the future. So it's not done in a vacuum. You have, as I stated earlier, we have the technologists there, along with the analysts, along with the operators, along with the technical experts. So they're all working together. And so that we can, by doing that, we can make this thing happen.
What do companies know, though, about the environment that they're walking into and what they're going to have to integrate into? How are you communicating your as-is environment to them?
Basically, right now, those discussions will go further. We will give them an update in terms of, I think our need clarified that as we talked about that, what we wanted. So as we have those further conversations, then we'll be able to show them what our baseline is that has occurred within the innovation hub and then leverage what they're doing. And so therefore, it could be more than one company, by the way, that could really have some key contributions to this particular need. So we're not just cutting it out just to one company. We're looking at across the board in terms of how to really leverage on what we currently have within the Innovation Hub and also how we can move further and basically operationalize this as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and how quickly? That was going to be my next question. You talked about this being kind of pilot-focused earlier, but if one of these capabilities does fit your needs, realistically, how long would it take to scale it up and implement it throughout the defense intelligence enterprise?
Okay, that's the other part. As we have those, as you know, we have a baseline system right now that we come up with, and so therefore we'll see how that can leverage on that. And I would say we've done a lot of the groundwork, a lot of the foundational work in terms of the pilot that we are currently working on. So therefore, with these companies, if they have the right stuff that we can leverage, and I think we should be able to have a initial operational capability probably within 6 months.
Wow. Okay. As far as this particular all source intelligence viewer, was there anything in particular about that need that rose to the top and made you decide you wanted to use it for the first out of the gate test of this WebEx process that you're using?
Yeah, because we were doing it already. So therefore, that's why we made a determination to focus on a specific need that could help what was going on within the industry. Because you never, when you're doing innovation, you never focus on one particular thing. I would call it a one-trick pony. You never can do it that way. You want to look at all options that are out there for you so that you can really move things forward and really capture the essence of what the mission area that you're trying to focus on, and also how you're trying to basically accomplish a mission area need, a specific need. And to do this, I think we needed industry. So, having a company to be able to come in and leverage on our capabilities and complement us on our capabilities, I think that is a great thing to do, and not just say just one particular option will take us all the way through to the finish line. We need multiple options to help us to do that.